We celebrate today the gift of healing, and in many ways, all of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to we, the faithful. On Friday, we celebrated the feast of the apostles, Peter and Paul. As we sang in the Troparion on Friday at the feast, Princes of the Apostles. Princes of the Apostles. Together. These are the great among the 12. These are very important apostles for what they did. We also celebrate today, as it happens on the calendar, the remembrance of the great disciples of the Lord, though generations later, and that is Cosmos and Damian. Cosmos and Damian. And I think it is helpful to meditate upon these great individuals in our church history, Peter and Paul and Cosmos and Damian, as an image for ourselves. Peter and Paul, very different apostles. Think of, for a moment with me, the stark differences of these two individuals that we call princes of the apostles together. We celebrate the feast of Peter and Paul together. We sing one troparion for them together. And yet they are very different. Peter was called by Jesus early in the ministry. Among the first few men called. You recall that story in Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus calls them from their boats and their nets to become fishers of men. We talked about that in the past of what that meant. It did not mean that they abandoned their former way of life, but rather their former way of life was transformed. They didn't abandon their boats and nets as often we think in our popular mind and walk off into the sunset. We see them in the next episode with those same boats. Where did they go with Jesus? Well, just up the hill, as I've mentioned to you before, on the Mount of Beatitudes, as it's called today. From there, they could see their boats sitting there and their father mending the nets. After that, they went around the corner to Capernaum, to their hometown, and that's where they stayed, just like they were going to go home that day anyway. What happened then? What was different? They began to be transformed by Jesus. Their nets became the nets for the ministry. Their boats became boats for the ministry. They still had to get fish. Who fed the wives and kids for those 3 years while Jesus was traveling around the area and these men were following him? They continued to fish. They continued to catch fish and feed the wife and kids. And poor Peter had to repair the roof. Remember, we talked about that, how he had to repair the shingles on his roof after they pulled it off in the gospel story we talked about today. So, here is Peter, a fisherman from the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee. Not educated in the traditional sense. He was a disciple of John the Baptist, so he certainly had some good training, preparation for the ministry, but he was not educated as a Pharisee or anything like that. Now, if you want to know what kind of fish to catch on what part of the shore of Sea of Galilee, on what time of the day or time of the year, he could tell you. Paul couldn't do that. If you wanted a net, this is before synthetic nets, lifted out of the water, weighing probably hundreds of pounds, and have to toss it in the air to catch more fish, and do this all day long. Paul was not the man for this job. Peter was. Peter, James, John, Andrew, these were very strong men. These were the tradesmen. Contrast that to Paul. Paul, in his background, before he was called by Jesus, was educated in Tarsus, one of the most important cities in that region. It was a Roman colony, meaning the city of Rome and the empire had granted it, like Philippi and Corinth, Roman citizenship. That's how important that city was. It was famous, like Corinth, for its schools of rhetoric and philosophy. That's fancy talking and fancy thinking. Paul was educated in that. You can read his first epistle to the Corinthians if you want to see his rhetorical abilities. Shocking. But that wasn't all Paul had in his background. Paul then moved to Jerusalem and he studied, this is before he encountered Jesus, he studied under Gamaliel the Great. Gamaliel the Great is known not only in our New Testament, but he's mentioned in all the historical documents, the period, the rabbis refer to him as Gamaliel the Great. Famous for his knowledge of the Torah. And under him, and during that time, Paul became a Pharisee, which does not mean a hypocrite, but rather a person who is an expert in the law and tries to follow it as best as they could. There was certainly some problems in the movement, as we talked about on other days, and we will again. But this was Paul's background. One is a very strong tradesman, a fisherman from the northern shore of the Sea of Galilee, who could probably pick up five of us and throw us into the water. Okay? The other man, Paul, or Saul, Shaul, chosen one, but takes the name Pavlos, means short guy, is probably a very small man, highly educated. Very different. One has a great intellectual mind, a very small body. The other, a very great, strong body, but intellectually, well, he knew how to fish. This is why the elders in Jerusalem, when they hear Peter begin to speak with eloquence, the Holy Spirit filled Peter, as Jesus had promised. And it says in Acts the Apostles, when they heard them speaking boldly, this is Peter, a fisherman, and they perceived that these were uneducated men, they marveled. Where does this man get this knowledge? From the power of the Holy Spirit. Very different individuals. And Jesus uses both of them, Peter and Paul, to do the work he has called them for. Look at Peter, unmarried. Peter, married, wife and kids, children, we don't know how many. We know of at least one daughter by name. And Peter becomes the host for Jesus. His wife, his mother-in-law, cooked for Jesus and for the disciples. Can you imagine? 13 men hanging out in your house, along with the... And these are small houses. The original size of Peter's house, about half the size, so you all see it, about half the size of the holy place there. So cut the holy place in half. Right there. That's it. If you've been to Capernaum, you've seen this spot. You can see the foundation wall of his original house. It's not very big. I mean, the size of this section of pews here. I don't know. 15 by 15, 20 by 20. A little curtain in the back. Separated place for people to sleep. And suddenly they had guests on a regular basis. And poor Peter, because of these crowds that came to see Jesus, he even had his roof ripped off. All right? So they could lower the paralytic down. What happens after the ascension? Well, Jesus has prepared Peter for this, and Peter continues with the blessing of the Lord to be a special leader among the 12. We can see him in Acts the Apostles leading the early church like a team captain, encouraging them, directing them. Where does he go? Not very far. He doesn't travel much. He's in Jerusalem, then he's in Antioch, and then next we see him, he's in Rome, and there he is martyred under Nero. How many churches did he found? Well, we don't know of any that Peter founded. You might say, well, what about Rome? Well, the church in Rome was there before Peter arrived. So, but look at Paul now. Contrast that to Paul. Paul traveled endlessly. If you read in Acts the Apostles and you read in the Epistles, like you hear about his travels from town to town, founding church after church after church. He wrote half the New Testament. The 14 epistles of Paul, if you look in your New Testament, divide, it's half the content of the New Testament. Unbelievable. How many epistles did Peter write? Two. And yet, the Lord uses both of these men, and you can certainly see the difference of the two because of their background, how the Lord uses what they had when they came into the ministry for the mission He had set before them. And I say that because hopefully we can find in ourselves some of those characters. Some are married. Some are not. Some are tradesmen. Some are highly educated individuals. Some are weak and infirmed, and some are healthy. St. Peter, as far as we know, was a very healthy, strong man. St. Paul, it doesn't seem that he had very good health, at least towards the end of his ministry. He refers to some sort of an infirmity. He says that the Lord has given him a scourge of Satan. What was it? We don't know. But he said it was so bad that St. Paul prayed to the Lord 3 times that it be removed. Now this is a guy who could deal with suffering. Shipwrecked, scourged, imprisoned, beaten, stoned. But this thing that came upon him was so intense that 3 times he prayed that it would be removed. And the Lord said no. No to St. Paul. Hopefully we can find some courage there in our own suffering. Here is St. Paul, one of the princes of the apostles, who prayed 3 times for whatever this was, this infirmity, this that might have been a temptation to sin, a particular temptation to a particular sin, or a particular weakness that he had. Many scholars think it was his eyesight was going. This is before glasses. He wanted to write epistles. He was a scholar. And yet we know that he had to use a secretary to write down his epistles for him. Maybe that's what it was. Whatever it was, Paul had a horrible weakness. Some sort of a scourge of Satan, he calls it. How many of us, either in ourselves or know of others, who are suffering today? Right now, have some sort of a weakness of the flesh or whatever it might be, an illness. And we pray that the Lord will remove this illness. And 3 times the Lord said to Paul with that prayer, no. For my power is made full in your weakness. How so? How so? Because in Paul's weakness, in this certain inadequacy, he has to accept the fact that he needs the Lord's help. Which, of course, he does. But having this inadequacy is a constant reminder of that. And the Lord comes in and fills in that gap with his grace. He doesn't remove it, but He compensates Paul for it so that Paul can do the things that the Lord wants him to do, not necessarily the things that Paul wants to do. Look at Cosmos and Damian. Cosmos and Damian are 2 brothers, and they traveled throughout the Mediterranean world healing the sick. They were doctors, physicians. But they used their healing powers as physicians, their knowledge, their skill with their hands to bring people to the faith. As we hear the stories, when they would hear someone was sick, a pagan, they would go to them. And as they ministered to this person, they would talk to them about Jesus. As they gave them the right medicine, they would talk to them about the grace of God. And the pagans converted in droves at the hands of these skilled physicians. Why? Because these physicians used their talent, like Peter used his boat and his house and his nets,
for the ministry of the gospel. And so I think these individuals are a great model for us today. Are any of you suffering? Any among you weak? Any of you well-trained in mind? Or maybe not so well-educated? Any of you very strong? Some infirmed? Some have incredible talents? Some not so many? Whatever the case may be, the Lord has called us by virtue of your baptism, and that's why we're all here today, right now, to give our lives over, all that we have, our talents, our treasures, and our weaknesses, our infirmities, to the ministry of the gospel. Are you infirmed? Maybe that is a gift through which you are able to minister to others who are infirmed. Think of Paul with whatever the scourge was, his ability to talk to others who maybe had a similar illness or temptation. Maybe you have a rough background. Maybe your childhood didn't go so well. Maybe the college years aren't something we'd like to talk about publicly. Those are weaknesses in your background that the Lord can use for you to help minister to others who are presently dealing with those kinds of problems. Our own sin, our own weaknesses, can be opportunities to help others because we can understand where they're coming from. And so I ask you today, whether you're a St. Paul or a St. Peter, whether you're a Cosmos or a Damien, whatever the case may be, whether you are called like Paul to live a celibate life and go off into unknown territories and suffer like a modern missionary, or maybe you are called like Peter on that day on the shore to not abandon his boat and family and go off somewhere else, but rather to use his boat now for Jesus. Like Cosmos and Damien, to use the skills that God has given them as a physician to speak on a daily basis about Jesus with those around us. I think we all can think of in our own life, in our workplace, tomorrow if you're going to work, you can think of, how is it in my workplace that I could maybe be a shining light in the darkness? How is it for those who come to my workplace or my place of business, am I ministering to them? Have I transformed my workplace like Peter transformed his boat and net on that day? Transforming the workplace into a place which is not only a workplace, but a place for the ministry of the gospel. And so today, let us ponder these things as we meditate upon the memory of these great individuals in church history. Peter and Paul that we celebrated on Friday. Cosmos and Damien that we celebrate today. So that we may, in our daily life, our ordinary daily life, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, at the post office, at the grocery store, on the freeway when someone cuts us off, all of those circumstances, may we glorify Jesus Christ and use the life and talents He's given us and our weaknesses, the furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that He may be glorified with His eternal Father, as all holy, good, and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, and into ages of ages. Amen.